Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
Welcome to the Baptist 21 podcast, where we talk about what it means to be Baptist in the 21st century and really what it means to be Baptist in 2020, which has turned out to be a very trying and strange year. And so I have with me today, about a week after the historic decision to cancel this year's SBC, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee, Dr. Ronnie Floyd. Dr. Floyd, thank you so much for taking time to talk again.
Thank you, Nathan. It's always good to be with you, and it's great to talk to Baptists today, even though we're in a unique place in our history.
Yeah, I saw a thing the other day that says, I already hate 2020. I'm looking forward to 2021. So let's just be praying that things improve in 2020, and then obviously we have a wonderful time meeting together next year. So let me just jump into the question. This is the first time this has happened in our lifetime. What went on behind the scenes to make this decision to cancel the SBC? How technically, by our bylaws, is a decision like this made? I know, you know, guys like me who even attend the SBC and somewhat know the Constitution, you know, we weren't prepared to understand how a decision like this would be made. So any light you can kind of shed on that would be really helpful.
Well, first of all, Nathan, probably most people, if not all, had to go into the Constitution to be able to see how we do this, because in reality, it hasn't been done since 1945, and it was deferred in the account then because they were hoping that they were going to be able to do it later on in the year, and they tried, but they couldn't due to just not being able to secure space. It was following the war, and there was everybody trying to adjust their meetings relating to that. That is when the next year they brought the way to do what we acted upon for the first time. So in 1946, they gave ways that we could cancel and then drew up how to do that, which really amounted to the heads of the institutions and boards, the members of the executive committee, and the SBC officers. And so those are the people that had to make that decision, which obviously was a grueling decision. The SBC Executive Committee played a lead role in that because we had to do a lot of background in relationship to that and supply really enough information for everyone to understand this decision. And what's pretty miraculous about it is that we had only 7 members who could not be on the call that day of the executive committee. We have 86 members. And so we had 75 people on that call, and only 7 could not attend the call. We have 4 vacancies that make up the rest. But it was 75-0. That began the domino, if you may, and things began to move from there straight into meetings with the SBC officers and the SBC leaders of our entities. And together we made that decision, and that vote was 17-0, I believe, is what it ended up being in relationship to that, which meant everyone who had the empowerment to vote voted that we cancel it. So there was no divisiveness, obviously. I had walked through the week before on a call with the entity leaders about this process and already was aware of how some of it would take place. But I mean, we went to a whole different level on that Thursday before that meeting when we realized that, you know what, this is becoming inevitable. And as much as I didn't want to do it, Nathan, I mean, it broke my heart to do it. Because of historic matters, but because of where we are, we need to be together. We have a lot of things going on, and we need our time together with our people. And so, but you know, God is sovereign, and this is one time we just felt like that decision had to be made. It had to be. Our churches need to be giving themselves between now and June towards their communities, our entities. Really need to soak themselves, ourselves, and okay, what does all this mean for us in the future? Because obviously, when you don't meet church, like we're not able to do that around the country today, we've never walked in this land before. I mean, the SBC of 1945 is not the SBC in 2020. I mean, you're talking about masses of money more and across the nation and the entire world.
So y'all put out a very helpful FAQ. I would recommend people checking that out. What are the implications of that decision? So especially, again, thinking of somebody who I generally know the Constitution, but certainly not, and you know, don't hide it in my heart. What will this decision mean, like particularly for decisions that would have been made at the annual meeting going forward? You know, I'm thinking, what does it mean for officers, committees, motions, resolutions, budget? You guys kind of do work the 363 days we're not in session. Now you're going to have to basically do work for 700 days we're not in session. So what will that mean, particularly for the EC? So just what are kind of the implications that kind of came out of this decision?
Well, first of all, you know, Nathan, I want to be really, I want to be as transparent as I can with you about this, because there's nothing to hide. There are really difficult decisions that are going to have to be made. As far as, you know, the options, well, the options really lie in relationship to, okay, do we defer everything to 2021 that can be deferred? The Constitution also gives the privilege of calling a special meeting if desired to come together to do the business needed in relationship with that. And then, of course, you have the Executive Committee that operates ad interim. But while that means in between the time or, you know, in that moment, what does that all fully mean? This, you know, this is challenging because what we do know is this. Here's what we know. We know that because of this need, we believe it's imperative that we're able to for example, approve the SBC cooperative program allocation budget in September, which means it's delayed from the SBC. Which, you know, we're not sure where things are going to be anyway. So that you know, there's wisdom in that. So that's what gets the money out to the entities. I mean, that's what. So there will not be a holdup in those matters. We also know that if we were, for example, if we were to have a special meeting, we feel like mostly everything can be done in that special meeting except for matters relating to the Constitution, for example. Like right now, we have two amendments to the Constitution that it takes 2 years to do. Last year, you know, the SBC gave a declarative statement about sexual abuse and also a declarative statement relating to racial discrimination. And so that takes 2 years. We know that we got year one done in a great way. The convention was all the way in this. And we know it's going to be voted upon again, but it can't be voted on in 2020, which delays that being a reality in the Constitution. We also know, you know, Nate, that the SBC EC can't do that, and we don't really believe that even a special meeting can do that. There are just things we don't know yet. I look at it like buckets, you know, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, and this is what we have legal on it. We've got, I mean, there's a lot of details here that we just haven't ever walked this way before. But I see a bucket of 2021. What goes in the bucket of the 2021 convention? What can go in the bucket of the SBC Executive Committee that doesn't take us further than we need to go? Okay. But because there are some things I believe that, you know, the SBC intends that the messengers do. Okay. But at the same time, we've never been here and we can't hold anything up. Because there's things that need to be done. And then there's a third bucket, and that would be if by chance If somewhere in the summer we determine, you know, we really need a special meeting to get the business done, then that would probably end up in a one-day meeting somewhere at a given location. But we haven't gone there because we don't feel like it's time to go there. But we have to go there in our minds to play this game here. And it's not a game. It's real life of trying to figure out, okay, we did that. Now that we've done that, and we knew certain things, but all the answers are not easy, you know. But we'll make it through it, and God will show us the way.
Let me just do quick kind of hits for again. So those who are standing trustees who would be rotating off, most all of them are, as I understand it, deferred, except for there's two entities where they can replace their own on a basically a pretty temporary basis until we meet again. That would be Southern and Guidestone.
Yes, that is correct. And that we do know. And so because that has to do with their charters and in relationship to that.
Any committees that were going to be appointed for this year, they'll essentially be deferred until next year.
Unless we have a decision that we believe that the reports can be received by the executive committee, or the reports could be received by a special meeting. Again, we're working through all that, and it really comes back to I want to call it a healthy tension on maintaining who everybody is, you know, not trying to be something we're not. At the same time, we have real life stuff that if it doesn't get done, we're gonna have some challenges.
Right. You've mentioned the special meeting a couple times. So would that be a meeting of the executive committee and its members, or would it be a full convention meeting, or could it be either or both?
I understand it. First of all, let's go back to the executive committee itself. The executive committee meets every Monday and Tuesday after the third Sunday in the month. Okay, of September as well as February. So already there's a meeting of the exec committee on the 21st and 22nd in Nashville, Tennessee. And you know, well, there are a lot of leaders from the SBC that come in for that. Anybody can come because they can see the process of how some of the work is done. But a special meeting would have to be looked at in relationship to determining a time and a place. And the matters of business would have to be printed in relationship to what would actually be done, because you're not conducting an annual meeting, okay? You're conducting a special meeting that would have to go through the right kind of channels to even be called, which is really with the officers of the convention and the members of the executive committee. So that means that the president, vice president, second vice president, recording secretary, registration secretary, the treasurer, along with the members of the executive committee, would have to call that meeting together. In fact, it says that they would do that in concurrence with the president, meaning with agreement of the president of all that would be done. There again, that conversation has been deep, and I'm just telling you what the Constitution says. Okay, because that's all I have to say and to stand on today. Because right now we need to put our focus on the ministries of our local churches and what we're doing to try to prepare for whatever is going to be going on in the SBC.
Now would be a good time to tell you about our sponsor for the Baptist 21 podcast, The Pillar Network. If you're a pastor interested in leading your church to partner with a community of like-minded SBC churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to fulfilling the Great Commission by equipping the next generation of pastors to both plant and revitalize churches, then consider joining The Pillar Network. You can find out more information at thepillarnetwork.com. That's thepillarnetwork.com. For those who just, you know, would kind of want to keep up to date with how things are going, in this interim, as y'all kind of decide what's in the 2021 bucket, what's in the EC bucket, what will be the ways communication will be kind of given out? I mean, obviously, think Baptist Press, but what are some other ways people can kind of say, keep it kind of on their radar so they can hear any information you guys are putting out?
Well, first of all, I think, obviously, if it's news, and that's what they'd be interested in, it's going to be released through Baptist Press. There may be a time in the future that I may write an article relating to that is published in Baptist Press. It would be regarded as news, but at the same time, it is news, okay? Yeah. Because I'm going to write with purpose in that. So that would be the best way. Obviously, through social networking as well, there's some things happening that, you know, that God's using in a great way. We're doing a lot of Facebook Lives right now. Jonathan Howe's doing some things in relationship. 2 weeks ago, he did one with Guidestone in relationship to the stock market three weeks ago, I think. And then yesterday, he did one in relationship to the CARES Act and interviewed the attorney at Guidestone over what the CARES Act, and now that that's been passed by the members of Congress, both the House and the Senate, the president signed it. What is that? What are there implications for that, right, relating to local churches, entities, whatever it may be? He talks about that with him. Again, very difficult conversations none of us have ever been in, you know. So there, we just have never been here. So what I want to do is that I want to be sure that I try to not overspeak for this, because I don't know what is best right now. Right. Here's what I do know, that the headquarters of the local of the SBCs in the local church is not in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're there to assist those churches to do their ministry, and we're there to mobilize people around the world for the gospel, and so we're trying to do our very best, Nate, to releasing what needs to happen. What are the things that whatever slows us up, then we need to deal with that, if at all possible. But everybody here that really understands the lay of the land, we have ideas about things, but ultimately we're still navigating through the challenges of taking all of us together on the same ride of wherever that ends up.
Let me ask you just one more question on the fallout of the decision to cancel, and then I'll kind of move towards future vision and then just ministering in this tough time. Some have begun to argue that based on our Constitution bylaws that a president could not serve a third term. What would you say to that? Why has it been made clear that the standing officers and appointments for the most part will stay as they are and be replaced by a vote of the messengers instead of some other action?
Yeah, well, I think that probably the reason for that is because of what it says in relation to the president, the president's service, but also understanding what the Constitution says relating to that until the next one is elected. You know, it's one of those, it's not that, I don't think it's people trying to be argumentative as much as, okay, how do we balance this? You know, and those are real live questions that have to be looked at, you know, in relationship to that. But there, you know, therein lies, you know, one of the reasons that we have to seriously look at what are our options about getting the business done, okay? Because you're going to have challenges. Doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they're challenges. We would be doing things in a brand new way that haven't been done in modern SBC history. And so, you know, we're working hard at it. You know,
sure.
I mean, we've had meetings in the last 72 hours on it on several occasions.
Yeah, from quarantine. Do you anticipate any changes to the bylaws because of how unique this is moving forward? I was just kind of thinking through that myself as I was going through these questions. Just, I mean, so there is a little ambiguity on a few of these. You think there'll be some clarifications probably in the future?
Yeah, I think that there's going to have to be some real serious look at certain matters of that. You know, sometimes you need to go through something. That's what they did in 1945. They went through something and they created a way to try to help us. The good news is it hadn't happened in 75 years. Yeah. The bad news is it hasn't happened in 75 years. So right. It hasn't been tested where some of that could have been improved. And so I think that, you know, we're going to have to look at that again. No one has started that conversation at 901 Commerce yet in Nashville, Tennessee, where we serve as the executive and fiscal and fiduciary entity of the SBC. But obviously, just as you, I mean, you know, you're a well-known young Southern Baptist. But you get this stuff. You've lived enough in this and understand it. And you realize it and you see issues. I've been around a little bit longer than you, and I certainly see the issues. And so they're real live things. And so I think that we just have to really look at it and say, okay, in modern world, how does this happen in the future? And it really just shows again that probably there are years that you just really need to go in deep and look at the bylaws in relationship to all of the bylaws. You don't let a crisis define the bylaw. You do what's best for the organization as much as you can understand what the organization is going to be. I mean, listen, I mean, think about this. I mean, in 1946, I believe it was, I think the cooperative program budget on the national level was $4 million. Well, today it's just under $200 million.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just the SBC side of that. That doesn't include the states. Last year, our churches gave $462 million. Before this crisis happened, we felt like this year our churches were going to give somewhere around $470 million. Mm. Okay. And so now we don't know what our churches are, right, you know, are going to give through the cooperative program. And so the good news is we have 6 months of that behind us as of March 31, which is today, the day we're recording this. But in relationship to that, we have 6 months behind us, and all of that was very favorable, except we don't know how March is going to be. We're not sure because there are different parts of the country where things have happened. And some churches have not met in 3 weeks, some have not met in 2 weeks, some have not met in 4 weeks. And there's probably some still meeting in the rural communities out here, perhaps. And so I don't know that, but I would assume that. And so with that, I believe that there are matters here that we don't know. I think the real challenge is going to be what's going to happen the next quarter. What's going to happen the next quarter in every local Southern Baptist church in their giving? Yeah. And then measure this. It may take us a year or more to really measure where all this is going.
And I want to ask you a question about that in just a minute, just particularly you speak as a pastor to pastors in a moment. But first, you know, you had kind of rolled out in February this Vision 2025. Obviously, there's probably going to be, you know, you don't get to present it to the SBC annual meeting. So what will this mean for Vision 2025?
Yeah, well, that's one of the most disappointing things, you know, Nate, because I've been in my role now 10 months and full time. And in this, you know, I worked most of those months on this with Paul Chitwood and Kevin Ezell and others. And so that part's real disappointing. But here's what I know reality is. Anytime you go through a crisis, you've got to push pause. You got to understand, okay, you know, because right now we really believe that those goals that we created, five things, three of them are related to financial matters. The other two we need to get done. Bottom line is, we just need to get it done. It's not like it should be a part of who we are. And so, but those three of them are pretty financially related. So that means what? That means, first of all, we know things are changing. So to go with the same goal there is right now to say, no, we're going to plunge ahead. No, we're not going to plunge ahead. I want the SBC to be behind the vision, first of all. And if I can't present it to them, except in an annual meeting, I don't want to present it because it's not time to do that. Obviously, God's bigger than all this, and I trust Him. But what that means is we're going to have to reset those goals once we know where things are, which is okay. It may be, we may find out things are wonderful 6 months from now, okay? If they are, then we know we can go forward in the way we're going. I'm not so sure that it's going to be like that. At the same time, we'll just have to wait and see. So I think by the time we come to next February exec committee meeting, for example, I think by then we're going to know somewhat where America is. We're going to know where the SBC is, where the cooperative program is. And then we can reset those goals formally, where we can bring that to the 2021 SBC meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, in June of that year. And so with that, that's when we will roll it out. It will still be Vision 2025. We'll make it a four-year vision versus a five-year vision. And but I think the thing that we can do this year is just really lift up everything we can with, you know what, in this moment and time, and this is what I would say to pastors today, you know, how do you deal with where you are? It's not easy. It's not easy. And if somebody say it's easy, it's not easy. I've been preaching to a camera for 3 weeks at a church, okay, that normally has three worship services, all right? And you know, that's not easy. It's okay the first or second week. I've talked to TV cameras for years. I was on national television. And you get in the flow of that. But the point is that preaching is a relationship with the people, especially pastoring the Word of God, taking the greatest book in all of eternity and opening up that book and letting the Scripture speak. And when that pastor has that dynamic with his people, there's nothing like that. I mean, it's powerful. And so with that, you know, we're going to be missing that. So pastors, what can you do? Preach the Word. That's what you can do to the best of your ability in all of the challenges you have. Do everything you can to focus everything on the Great Commission. Don't forget the Great Commission. Our common friend, Ronnie Parrott, this past week released a video with his church and is showing their missional commitment, even in the midst of this of COVID-19 challenges. He didn't hold back. They're gonna play offense because they believe that the church can go forward. And thank God for that. I believe we're going to have many pastors do that. And so I think that that is dynamic, and that's the kind of leaders we need to be. But we need to be wise. We don't need to ask our churches for things that are impossible. We need to ask our churches to do what they're capable of doing with the power of God. We always want a level of faith, but you know what? A level of faith this year may not be to the level of faith it may have been 6 months ago. And we have to be comfortable with that. And because God is speaking, God is moving, and just be faithful to do all you can to reach your community with the gospel. God's giving you a big old open door now. We're in a crisis.
People are watching these sermons in numbers that pastors are shocked by. And so great evangelistic opportunities to share the gospel.
You cannot ignore that. And I'm telling you, you know, how we transfer all of that to a room and to a ministry, you know, I don't know. But I know if churches will get involved in their community, do creative things, whether you're taking care of the children of medical workers, or you're trying to provide special matters of providing food in relationship to matters like right now, I know that many of our disaster relief units and our state conventions are doing their best to still be active in helping those who are serving those who are in deep need today, to help seniors as well in all that, senior adults in that. And so anything we can do, you know, this past week, we also know that Send Relief went in and did a matter of helping with putting masks in places by the thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, Baptists are still working. I mean, thank God our missionaries are still functioning in a different way, but they're functioning. Our church planters are doing that. Our seminary leaders are doing that. I mean, it's amazing what they're pulling off right now. I mean, that is an extraordinary challenge that they're in as well. We're not any one of us without challenge. We need to pray for one another like never before.
Amen. I mean, that's so helpful. You kind of hit on my next two questions of words of counsel. So maybe just leave us with a few words of encouragement to the SBC family during this tough season.
Well, I would say this to all of us. Really commit yourself to pray for one another. This is real serious business. I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't know how organized you are in your prayer life. Maybe make a list of five pastors you have a heart for. Maybe people in your community. Pray for the SBC leaders. Man, they need it. Your state convention leader needs it. Your association missional strategist needs it. I promise you, wherever you went to seminary or college, they need that. Our mission board leaders need prayer. I mean, I'm just telling you, man, We need prayer. I need prayer. We all need prayer. So I would say pray. And you know what? Here's what I'm asking God for. And this is that, God, we need the indisputable intervention by a holy God who did it in the scripture, where one day there was a problem and the next day God moved. And, you know, we still serve that God is able to do that. So don't stop believing God. That's what I would say too. Trust the Lord. God's got you and he's with you. And don't forget that.
Amen. Well, Dr. Floyd, I know you got a lot going on right now. So thanks for your time. And we certainly will be praying for you and your leadership, certainly in this really kind of this crisis, but then obviously as it moves forward as well.
Hey, thank you, Nathan. God bless everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast.